Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for In the Spotlight. And this week, we're going to take a look at CEO succession. Now, according to a report by Spencer Stuart and Bain & Company, CEO transitions fall by nearly one-third during a crisis and hit their lows 1 year after stock markets bottom out. Now, while the full effects of the recession caused by COVID-19 are yet to be seen and the pace of the recovery is hard to predict, Spencer Stuart and Bain & Company also offer guidance to boards and CEOs on how to best manage the uncertainty. We're joined today by Courtney De La Carva, partner and member of Bain & Company's Leadership and Talent Practice, and Kathy Antarajan, partner and co-leader at CEO Succession Services for Spencer Stuart in North America, to find out more. Courtney and Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having us with you.
In a recent report by Bain and Spencer Stuart, it showed that firms put the brakes on leadership transition during a crisis. How much of a shift have we actually seen?
That's right, Rachel. Our study did show that firms put the brakes on leadership transitions during a crisis. Worth going backwards, our analysis, which was based on a data set of about 2,700 CEO transitions during recessionary periods, covering 1996 to 2020, so three decades, three recessions, showed that boards absolutely are increasingly reluctant to replace CEOs. So during the past three global recessions, we saw CEO transitions fall from the pre-crisis highs by as much as one-third. So in the U.S., that was about 26% to 32%. In Europe, that was about 12% to 24%. Interestingly, in Asia-Pacific, transitions only fell in the last crisis, the global financial crisis, by about 17%. You know, we aren't sure what this is attributable to, but it could be a more Western style of governance in some corners. We do know that the Asian business environment has grown on a global basis, and there is significantly larger proportion of Asian companies on the Fortune 500. So you asked the question of how is the current crisis playing out. We've analyzed it through June of 2020. The trend is continuing. In April and May, CEO transitions fell worldwide, again compared with the same months in 2019, including by one-third in Europe and in Asia. We saw a little bit of bounce back in June in Europe and Asia, in Europe and the U.S., but not yet in Asia. So time will tell whether this trend continues.
Did those numbers surprise you? I mean, given where we are at the moment, because the analysis from June, that's 6 months into, you know, the pandemic. And I would have thought perhaps that would have given companies some time to think about perhaps re-strategizing. But in this case, you're saying, you know, perhaps it's a flight to safety right now. Is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, the trend has continued. I think boards' reluctance to make leadership change in the middle of a recession is understandable. Mm-hmm. We don't think it's advisable always, but it's understandable. But it can, that lag time can come at a cost. Interestingly, we did look for Asia, looking at Q2 2019 versus Q2 2020, and Asia transitions are down by 50%. So I'd say the trend continues. So not surprised. And we'll see whether lessons are learned and the trend continues.
Do you think this should be the case, though, or is now, in fact, the best time to seek new leadership to navigate the long road ahead?
Well, is this the best time? Well, we would say there is not a predetermined time that is best for a CEO transition. In fact, the best boards are planning for CEO transition often years in advance, as much as 5 years or more. And they make the transition when the time is right. So sometimes that time is forced on you, for example, due to an unexpected CEO departure, such as a death, a family crisis, or an ethical lapse, or is the result of poor performance and the board takes sharp action. But when boards have a choice, the best time for succession is determined by several factors. Most importantly, it's about the profile that's needed to achieve the future-focused strategy and cultural aspirations, and as well, the board's view on how well the current CEO meets those future-focused needs, the personal wishes of the current CEO, and the availability of the right talent when it's needed. Now, let's put that in the context of COVID crisis. Mm-hmm. So as companies emerge from what we think is the worst of the crisis, boards will start to debate whether their companies need new leadership for the post-crisis world, particularly if their strategies have pivoted dramatically. as they emerge from the crisis. So they'll want to assess how well the current CEO meets those needs, his or her performance before and during the crisis, and again, the CEO's own preferred timeline. Now, several CEOs delayed retirement to shepherd the company through this difficult time.
That said, though, what are some of the important questions that CEOs must ask themselves if they are looking to extend their tenure as a result of, you know, as you mentioned, navigating the company through the crisis? Or just overall, what are some of the things that they need to be looking at to communicate with the board and also the company to safely chart through these choppy waters?
First and foremost, the first question that they need to ask themselves is, what is our strategy? What is the strategy that will be our North Star as we emerge from the crisis? The strategy going forward may well be different than the one that has secured success in the past. So how has that strategy shifted? And then let's step back from that future-focused view and ask ourselves, what are the characteristics of the leader who can help bring about that vision? What does that say about the experiences that are needed, about the leadership capabilities, the capacity, both human and intellectual, and the personal qualities of the leader who can help us achieve that objective? Those are some of the fundamental issues that the board needs to ask itself. And then, of course, then they have to think about how well, as we said earlier, how well does our current CEO fit those needs? And if the answer is, you know, the needs have been different than our leader today, then there's a difficult decision to make.
Yeah, I mean, I think successful CEOs understand through this period to step back and envision the future, right? They've got three goals. How do they protect the company? How do they outpace rivals during the recovery phase and build a winning long-term position? And they're urgently trying to balance dozens of critical priorities each day and starting to focus on these questions. How can we ride out the crisis to emerge stronger than others in our industry? And how can the organization learn through this experience to win in a new world?
Following on from that, Courtney, you know, anecdotally, from the conversations I've had with some senior leaders here in Singapore, some of them have shared that they're finding it hard to communicate in the current environment to really implement change. Is this something that you've also observed, and how can management really overcome this challenge?
Absolutely, Rachel. It's something so many of our clients are experiencing. We see it often with our clients who are taking on change, especially transformational change. And what we're facing now is not just change within organizations, but also in our personal lives and in the world more broadly. The underlying principles here are that during change, we humans, are under so much stress, and that minimizes our ability to hear and understand information by 80%. Mm-hmm. So that means we only comprehend 20% of what we would in normal times.
Wow.
Which has major implications,
yeah,
right, for how leaders need to communicate. And then contributing to this, you know, we also have limited capacity to absorb change. So in normal times, some of our capacity is consumed by changes outside work. But during times like these, a significant portion of our capacity is being consumed by concerns about health and safety and job stability, caring for family. So it makes our stress even higher, which means leaders really need to pay more attention to how they communicate. So what do we tell them? They really should start with empathy. This crisis has no doubt put empathy and compassion back on the top of the agenda. So in a crisis, leaders must connect with, they must motivate and inspire others and show genuine compassion. Next, we recommend they just simplify and regularly repeat clear, concise, consistent messages. Mm-hmm. And then engage with employees and stakeholders in small kind of two-way dialogues. We want space for them to ask questions, which becomes even more important in these times of stress.
And there was another interesting area in the report as well, just moving on from that. In the report, it says to successfully steer their companies through the crisis, CEOs should focus on the following four areas. One is retool for a post-crisis world, which we've spoken about. The second is refresh executive succession plans, which we've spoken about. Engage the board, which we've also discussed. But the last is commit to personal reflection. And I thought that was quite interesting because, you know, during this time, we are in the middle of a health crisis. But I guess it doesn't just relate to a health crisis, does it? It's overall reevaluating and understanding how you can improve as a senior leader to help your company. So what are some of the ways that CEOs can take a step to to, you know, as you mentioned, commit to personal reflection.
Yeah, well, this has been a really challenging time for CEOs. As you can imagine, they have the weight of the world on their shoulders, and it is taxing them emotionally, intellectually, personally. They need time to reflect. They need to reflect on their own performance, what they're doing well, where they have questions. They need to solicit feedback and accept different points of view with an open mind, hearkening back to the conversation we just had about listening. Mm-hmm. And they need to challenge their own assumptions, seek out new information, and avoid falling back into comfortable patterns. I mean, this is a time when the playbook that you've developed over the course of a career may not work. And you have to be open-minded as you approach the ambiguity, complexity, and uncertainty of the day, and be looking at what life is throwing your way through multiple lenses, and be creative and thoughtful about the path forward. It may well be different than what you thought it might be in the past. It takes time to think through these things, and that's where the reflection comes in.
The only thing I would add is that the best CEOs discover opportunity in a crisis, right? They realize that the actions they take today are shaped by what they envision for their company when the crisis ends. So they look beyond the recession, and they start to retool their businesses for a different future. And that can take lots of different forms, right? Digitally transform customer engagement, or resetting operating models, or even how they work with their board. That would be the only other thing I'd say. And just as important, the CEOs ensure that the response to the crisis also strengthens their own leadership bench. Right, they create learning opportunities for future CEO candidates to build the adaptive skills they will need in the future. Things like making decisions in uncertainty, experimenting in the market with test and learn, deploying agile.
We've been speaking with Courtney De La Cava, partner and member of Bain & Company's Leadership and Talent Practice, and Kathy Antarajan, partner and co-leader of CEO Succession Services for Spencer Stuart in North America. You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.